B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Gabe, his head's going to explode. Oh, do I have to move the runner? What launch you 38 degrees to move the runner?
I'm so thankful that he's not here anymore because he spoke with the NBC Sports affiliate at the Bay Area,
yeah,
in San Francisco. And they asked him how he's going to handle managing this season. And he said, like, every game's a playoff game.
Oh,
you know
it's gonna be 6 hours long.
Oh my God, he's gonna overmanage like crazy.
He overmanages spring training games.
And they don't even have a good team in San Fran, so he's still gonna try so hard.
Is he got Lincecum?
No.
It's no. Buster Posey.
Yes. Posey's still out there.
Still out there. They have who's the beard? I can't remember the guy with the beard.
Brian Wilson. No, he's not there anymore either.
It's not that team anymore.
No, it's been a while.
Oh, damn.
Since those guys have been gone.
Sheesh. Let's go. John and Moorestown's on the Fanatic. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, Jason?
What's up, buddy?
I just had a couple comments on. I guess changes baseball can make. I'm kind of with you on the shift, and I'm a baseball nut. You know, like a purist. I guess in the sense that I would change the shift in terms of I wouldn't let, say, the shortstop, I wouldn't let him move past second base. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or you
would have zones that they can play in.
Yeah, yeah, and I really would rather have them not into the outfield. I mean, maybe the edge of the grass. I don't know how you would regulate
it. Yeah,
that.
I mean, look, you can, like, you've always been able to shade in baseball, right? Like, you can shade to left center, or you can shade toward the middle of the infield. But you can't stick seven guys on the right side of second base. Like, that's insane. Right?
Yeah, it's bothered me. And again, I'm a baseball fanatic, and I don't want to see it changed too much, but I think that would create more balls in play. I mean, they're already, you know, shooting for the home run anyway. And I understand that. That's kind of the statistical era that we live in,
mm-hmm.
meaning like OPS matters more than your batting average.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the 3-point shot, shooting 40% is better than shooting 50% from the 2-pointer. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, yep.
So I get that, but at the same time, I think there's some other things baseball needs to do. I'm actually cool with the relievers having to face three guys, correct?
Yeah, three batters.
See, I'm cool with that because I don't want to see like a righty lefty, you know, righty come in
specialist.
Yeah, man, that's what slows it down. Mm. And I tell you, if the guy comes in for his three batters and he gets rocked, oh, well, that's exciting.
Yeah. What about the DH? You cool with the DH, the universal DH?
I want the universal DH, too. I'm all about it.
I love how some people are just totally outraged by that.
I don't understand that, because I'll tell you right now, we've been doing interleague play for 20 years now.
Yeah.
And if you remember when they first started it was like a 20 game thing for like two or three weeks they did it at one time. Now interleague play is kind of spread out throughout the season.
Yeah, it's interspersed.
Yeah, there's no set time. So and nobody wants to see the pitcher hit, you know?
Yeah.
These guys get hurt enough.
Yeah, but everybody says, well, the strategy of do you leave the pitcher in because he's got a hit and all that, so that takes the strategic element away. The shift takes away a strategy. Do you want the sport to be better or not?
Yeah, they shouldn't have ruined interleague play, though.
How'd they ruin interleague play? By making American League teams not use the DH in
the
National League ballpark?
No, I don't care about the DH thing. I did it like a couple years ago, but they've been talking about this for years, right? So
it's enough to just
it needs to
be uniform.
It's still going to... Like, when it first happens, not counting this year, because this year is totally different. When it first happens, whether it's next year or 2022, I'm still going to be like, oh, this kind of sucks. But at the same time, like, I've been expecting it for 5-6 years.
Yeah.
I don't want to play the Royals in April. I miss when it was, you know, the mid-June, mid-July.
Yeah.
Well, the Red Sox are in town, mid-July.
Yeah.
Now it's like, hey, it's April 30th, and the Red Sox, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like they junked it up.
Well, they do too much of it now.
Yes.
It needs to, like the thing that's cool about the NFL is that they play the AFC every year, and you know, in the NBA they play the Western Conference, but in baseball there was difference. It was like there were two leagues that met at the World Series, and then they brought interleague play, and they've expanded interleague play. And I agree with you, it's become too much, because that was a cool little niche element of Major League Baseball, is that hey, the American League's one league, National League's another league. We'll see. Our best will see you in the World Series, and that was cool. But you're right.
It's right around the All-Star break too, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to see the best of the National League versus the best American League. Now you're playing Kansas City in April.
Well, look, I like what baseball's doing this year though too, with the regional. Like, hey, you have two teams in New York. Philly should play both those teams equal amounts. You know, but let's make it regional. Let's get rid of the American League and the National League.
Nah.
And create these divisions based on regions.
No, I'll do that.
Yeah, see.
No, National League. Come on, man.
You can call it whatever you want, all right? You can have the title.
The way it is. You don't have to change things.
God.
They have to do it now. I'm okay with that. Don't be changing the American. What's the All-Star game? Are you going to do, they're going to pick, right? How they do LeBron and Giannis, and they draft their players?
Yeah.
Are we going to draft the All-Star
teams? They're basically doing that already, aren't they, in the NBA? Aren't they basically doing that every offseason?
Yeah, exactly. what legal tampering?
Yeah.
Legal tampering.
610-632-0975. Jason in Southwest Philly's on the Fanatic. Jack.
Yo, Jace. I tell you, I missed hearing your Kapler impressions.
You're the only one. You're the only one that missed it.
It's hilarious. It cracks me up every time. But listen, you have to shorten the season. That's a no-brainer. We've been talking about it for years. And you got to extend the playoffs. But you can't get rid of the shift. The problem's not the shift. The problem is that once you get the AAA ball and the majors, they're not teaching these kids how to pull the ball or hit opposite field. Everything is long angle and home runs.
Yeah, but that's a byproduct of the shift. Because the shift's there, they teach that.
Because the shift's there, so I'm saying they're not teaching kids how to hit the opposite field. You're seeing people.
Because you can.
Sometimes you see guys. Yes, you can. What do you mean you can? Yes, you can.
If they could, they would, wouldn't they?
Because they're not trying to. They're trying to hit home runs, and it goes back to.
I know, because you can't control where you're going to hit the ball. Because every time I hit the ball, it goes to the right side. Then that's where I'm going to hit the ball. And they're going to pitch me in a way to pitch me into the shift.
Jace, it's baseball facts. You open up your stance, you swing a little bit.
Then why does nobody do it? Why does nobody do it?
Because no one wants to, because they're all concerned about hitting.
Okay, what about players that are 30-plus years old right now that were? What about players that are 30-plus years old right now that didn't come up with the shift? Why can't they do it?
Some of them do it, but most of them are. If they're older, they're basically still in the league because they're power hitters, so they're just going to hit the ball.
That's not true. That's not true. The shift is what necessitates the strategy of trying to hit the ball out of the park. Because baseball is a game of numbers, and the numbers don't lie after 500 at-bats. If out of 500 at-bats, I hit 462 balls to the right side, they're going to shift into it, and then they're going to pitch me to hit it to that side as well. And pitchers are so accurate and precise now that they're not going to leave a ball out of the plate where I can slap it to the left side.
Accuracy and precision has been the same in baseball. If you want to talk about velocity, I'll give you that. But there've been plenty of accurate pitches.
Yeah, but now there's
nothing has changed.
It used to be the hard thrower, Jay, didn't have the accuracy. Now the guy can throw 95 and paint the corner on the inside.
Some of them, yes, because that comes
more than ever
and release and all that.
Yeah, right. more than ever.
But velocity has changed and increased greatly, but accuracy, I can't give you that.
Well, there was guys that were really obvious, like Maddox, who was a guy that didn't have velocity but had tremendous accuracy and was a great pitcher, like a boxer and not a fighter, right? Like Randy Johnson was a fighter, a brawler, and Greg Maddox was a boxer.
He's a tactician.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he did. I mean, they pitch you in a way where they're trying to determine the only place you can hit the ball, which is right into the teeth of your shift, which is, again, if you don't have the shift, yeah, they're going to try and determine it, but there's not going to be seven players on the right side. I don't get why this is so hard to understand. I'm no baseball expert. I'm not. But if you limit or eliminate the shift into this pronounced way that it is now, it fixes the problem. And this notion that...
You think that alone fixes everything?
Not everything. But it's a huge step in the right direction. And it's going to take balls for Major League Baseball to do it. And I don't think that they got the stones to do it.
They had the stones to do this reliever rule. I think they would. If they think that's a part of the problem, I think they'd do it.
Well, why don't they recognize it's part of the problem?
Because they may go, this is a strategic element of the game. Now, again, I say that, and the reliever rule, that's part of the strategic element.
Yeah, so they're not averse to doing it, so messing with the strategic element.
Maybe they do, but maybe they don't think it's a
problem. And putting a guy on second in extra innings, that's a strategic element now.
Well, they're doing that now this year because of...
They don't want games going on until 2 in the morning. And they're already 4 hours long.
Yes.
So, I mean, look, I got to look at it, and I go, what's the trickle-down effect of the shift? Well... It affects everything. It's approach. It's pitching. It's trying to get the guy to hit the ball where you have all your players. This isn't rocket science. And if you can't put all your players on the side where the guy generally hits the ball, then you don't have to hit it out of the park. And you can just put bat on ball and put it in play. It brings the sport back. And I get the strategic element of it. And you can compare it to the NFL and say, you can't put 5 guys in the box or 8 guys in the box on an obvious 3rd and 1. The difference is the NFL product ain't broken. Major League Baseball problem, it is in a lot of people's eyes. Maybe the league doesn't see it that way. I think they see it because they're making other efforts to speed up games.
Oh, yeah, of course. They had that stupid pitch clock.
Yeah, and they're not oblivious to it. 610-632-0975. Let's go to media and talk to Ray. What's up, Ray?
Yo, Mercedes.
What's up, man?
Oh, it's actually Ryan. I don't know, but it's cool.
What's up,
Ryan? So good, man. Never called in with you on the station before. I just started calling in during the pandemic time, so it's cool to talk to you. I've been listening for a long time.
Thank you.
So, as far as the baseball thing, I totally agree with you as far as the shift being a problem. And I do think it's led to the launch angle nonsense and, you know, some of that stuff, which has messed with, you know, just some of baseball period with the small ball kind of leaving the game and everything. And I know people don't like that, but I mean, I like the small ball. I like the stealing bases and all that kind of stuff. The only thing I would say about outlawing the shift is, you might be hamstringing the evolution of the game. You know, any time someone comes up with something like the shift in baseball or comes up with a new strategy in football or something else, like something else always comes up eventually to beat it or to work against it. And that's the only thing you might be hamstringing the game. I mean, as far as like it used to drive me nuts when they started that shift. I would say one of the first players they started doing that huge overshift with was Ryan Howard. If you remember after those monster seasons he had,
yeah,
and he would rip those singles through, you know, all the time, even if he wasn't hitting a home run. And I always wondered, like, and I know they're not paying the guy to bunt and he's not running, you know, but I mean, when they put the whole team on the one side of the field and you need a runner on, especially in a key situation, maybe you could even pinch run for it. Like why did they never do that? Like, and he used to hit the ball the opposite way a lot early in his career. So I just don't know why more guys don't hit the opposite way. I mean, and that wasn't that long ago. That wasn't ancient history that he was hitting the ball the opposite way.
But it's crazy because, Ray, like, baseball has gone on, like, warp speed of the embracing of analytics and the shift and all that stuff and launch angle in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
It's changed more in the last 5 years than probably than the previous 40 years before it.
You're probably
you know what
right.
I mean, maybe that's an overstatement, but what has changed in baseball since 2015 to now is the game looks totally different. And look, they've eliminated, you know, strategic things in sports before. The NBA, the defensive 3-second violation, and yeah, I mean, look, they changed strategic elements of defense in basketball, haven't they?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, why is sports averse to that? If it helps the game, then why, because it's a strategic element, is it out of bounds? Like, I don't get that.
I think baseball...
I know I'm getting, like, ad nauseum here with you, but.
Well, I wonder if baseball looks at it this way. When you talk about baseball, what's the highlight? It's the home run and then like the diving catch, right?
Yeah.
The ground out's not a highlight. So maybe they go, oh, well, yeah, they are forced to hit home runs.
Well, then just let players use performance enhancing drugs. Because that helps.
Yes,
and,
it does.
And they rode that wave to popularity in 97 or nine, what was it, 98?
Yeah, until it came out, until people started figuring out exactly what was going on.
Oh, like, we didn't know.
Yeah, well,
when Barry Bonds,
the sand.
When McGuire, his forearms were like Paul Bunyan, and he was swinging a tree limb. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He had like a 48-inch or 48-ounce bat, and he's swinging it like it's a toothpick.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, he's not on roids, I mean.
Yeah, and
Brady Anderson goes to 52 home runs. Right. And they're hitting 16.
The scary thing is you're not going to be able to have PEDs help save the game. Right?
Not this time.
Right now, it's you just have to hope that people really enjoy a shortened season, a 60-game season, and they get invested into at least their local team,
mm-hmm.
and that helps a little bit. Like maybe there's a rebirth of love for the Philadelphia Phillies for the fringe baseball fan. Because I go back to, I mean, you look at 2008 through 2012 or 2011, they had to sell out every single night.
07 really to 2012.
Yes. And I know that seems like a lifetime ago because it was 10 years. But all right, it was only 10 years ago. And
but
I remember
the game was different 10 years ago too, though.
Yeah.
That was a kind of a throwback team.
It wasn't as
looking at comparing it to now.
Yeah, and it wasn't as much analytically based. I get all that, but mm-hmm. there was obviously love for the winning team.
Of
and
course.
Hopefully in
you
a major
win, you're going to bring it people.
In a major city, right? Like maybe the Royals don't sell. Well, actually the Royals had a great fan base when they were winning. If baseball wins, the problem is it's unfair for a lot of teams, right? In terms of the no cap and the Yankees have unlimited money every single year, whereas the Kansas City Royals win based off of just their scouting department, and then they win a World Series, and then everybody has to leave because they can't sign the damn players. Look at the Marlins.
Yeah.
They had Stanton, Yelich, and Ozuna in the outfield. Mm-hmm. In the same outfield.
Yeah.
And J.T. Realmuto behind the plate. They had to get rid of everyone because they couldn't afford them.
Because they can't afford it and because they have no gate. Look, Pittsburgh is a team that's developed players for years but could never keep them, right?
Oh, never.
You're right. You're right about that. So, I mean, I don't know what the fix is. And
is salary cap a fix to try to even out the league? I mean, basketball is great this year. Why? Because this is the first time. Yes, like a lot of people said, it's either the Clippers or the Lakers who win the championship, right? Like people make that
prediction.
But
that's not a foregone conclusion.
No, it's not. I mean, look at the West. The West is stacked. The East has some good. I mean, the Sixers shouldn't be a sixth seed, right? They should be higher.
Yeah. The fact that you have a team with that talent that is a sixth seed is.
It tells you something. It says that
they sucked on the road,
in the NBA. Yeah, it says that the talent in the NBA has been more evened out. It's not the same super teams. Yes, the Clippers are a great team because they have Kawhi and Paul George and a bunch of great role players, Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley. You know, they got Landry Shamet out there hitting threes. Obviously, they're a great team, but it's not the big three. It's not the big four like Golden State had.
Yeah.
So maybe if baseball, I don't know, if they implement some sort of a cap. You look at the Yankees. I know the Yankees have been a disappointment, but they still have Judge and Stanton.
Yeah, and they spend four times the amount of other teams. It's so unfair.
Yeah, they got Garrett Cole. How unfair is that? Because they can. They can afford him.
Okay, baseball, try and put a cap in your next CBA. Good luck.
Yeah, well, exactly.
We'll see you a year after that because there's no way. That's a total non-starter for the players. Players are already complaining that, and I think they have a valid complaint here, is that while revenues have risen to 10-plus billion in baseball, their pay hasn't been commensurate with the rise of league revenue.
Some players have.
I mean, well, some, yeah, but
Mike Trout's getting $400 million.
But overall, salaries haven't risen along.
Right.
In total,
yeah, your league minimum's still pretty low.
Yeah, and the average amount being paid out of the revenue is a smaller piece of the pie than it was when the league revenue was $7 billion. So, I get that issue. Like the sport's making money. Then you got idiots like that guy in St. Louis. Who comes out and says being a baseball owner is not that profitable.
Yeah, that guy's a moron.
You're in St. Louis, dude. Like, your team can suck.
Yeah, you're in baseball heaven.
And you get a sellout. So, settle down. And you bought the team for $150 million in 95, and it's now worth $2.6 billion, and it's not good business. What kind of return were you expecting on your dollars?
Yeah, I want to read a tweet real quick from Tim McManus. This was actually reported by Jeff Mosher earlier this morning, confirmed by Tim.
Yeah, I was going to bring this up. I just saw this as well. It's interesting.
Yeah, Eagles coaches and essential staff will undergo a mandatory quarantine in Philadelphia area before being tested for COVID-19 in advance of camp. Can't read. They need to be in Philly by July 10th. They're scheduled to be tested on the 17th. Protocols for camp include daily COVID tests for all staff entering training facility and mandatory mask wearing, as sources added. Rookies are tentatively scheduled to report around the 21st, vets on the 28th.
It's amazing. Originally, the NFL said they were all going to report on the 28th. Why the 21st seems early, especially when they've just canceled now two preseason games. You're not going to play a preseason game. When is that? The August 20th is the first preseason game now?
Yes.
I mean, because it's a late year, because Labor Day is late right. This year. But August 20th, so you're going to have players in camp for a month before you even get to a game. Now, I guess they want to do that, too, because...
They missed OTAs.
They missed OTA. They didn't get a chance to make any impression yet, the young players. And you limit the amount of people that are there for a period of time.
And you limit... Because you're down to two preseason games, you probably want to get a head start on... Looking at these rookies.
You got
to
get more tape on.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that depend on weeks 3 and 4 in the preseason to try to make a roster.
Yeah. I heard Pat was reporting on that this morning, that the NFL has eliminated two preseason games and they're going to have just weeks 2 and 3. And it's the best thing to happen in 2020. And he's dead right. It's the first positive thing to happen in the year 2020 now that we're in the second half of the year.
Dude, you're not excited for the Eagles-Jets game?
No.
I love the Eagles-Jets game.
Yeah, that fourth one was...
It's a sign.
Yeah.
That season's about to start.
Well, look, and you kind of alluded to it with baseball, and we've alluded to it with the NBA, and this is also, we're alluding to it now in the NFL. This is an opportunity to get rid of, trim some of the fat. You know what I mean? And get rid of some of the things you don't need to, and then move forward beyond pandemic, post-pandemic.
Right.
Without all of it. So hopefully that's the case. That we have, they were going to go to two preseason games anyway, right? In a couple of years?
I think they're going to go to three first, but yeah, you're
like,
right.
Why even go to 17 games? Like, that to me is one of the dumbest things that's happened this year.
Yeah, you're anti-odd amount of games.
You can't be 500. What'd Jeff Fisher do? You know what I mean?
Not going 7-9.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You can't have a sports league that has an odd number of games. That doesn't make any sense. Because then you have an imbalance of home and away. These are the logical things that I need to bring
neutral
to
neutral sites, Jason.
That's never going to happen.
I know it's not. People keep on telling me, though, it will.
It would be great if they could, but there's too many logistics involved to do that across 31 or 30 teams in the NFL. 610-632-0975. That's the number. A couple open lines. Get the Tom and Graf coming up. And more of your phone calls right here. It's the Midday Show. Jason Martinez. Anthony is off today. We're back after this on The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Anthony off today. Jason Martinez, Hero 2. Mike working today? Mikey Miss? All right, Mikey Miss at 2 o'clock. I alluded to that list earlier that came out, Andrew. The list of top coaches in the NFL. And Doug was, 9th on the list?
Correct.
And I know there were some obviously suspect choices ahead of him. And I want to talk about that real quick. We'll get to Tom and Graf in just a second. The guy was from CBS Sports that put out the list. What's his name? Sean Wagner. Sean J. Wagner. And his list was Bill Belichick, Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Mike Tomlin, Pete Carroll, Doug Peterson, and Mike Zimmer. And then I saw him tweet out that Philly fan showing their true colors again, because he got just crushed on Twitter from Philly fans. And... you know, everybody going nuts because he had Doug ranked 9 and, you know, Philly fans living up to their reputation. He mentioned the, you know, throwing snowballs at Santa, which is just stupid. But anyway, and I saw Kyle at Crossing Broad put up blue check mark with 3,400 followers, thinks Sean McVay is a better coach than Doug Peterson and whatever. And his list is, you know, subject to his own opinion. And he believes that Doug Peterson's the ninth-ranked coach, despite the fact that many of those coaches that are ahead of him, a couple of them don't have Super Bowls, like McVay, like Kyle Shanahan. Obviously, Belichick does. Andy Reid now does. John Harbaugh does. Sean Payton does. Mike Tomlin does. Pete Carroll does. And they're all ahead of him. So I guess the names that he really has a problem with is Sean McVay, who's, you know, a young guy and is really savvy in his recall and all that stuff. But what I will say is this, and I know it's, when I saw it too, I wanted to react right away too and go, you're an idiot. How can you have McVay? Doug's beaten McVay several times. McVay has a quarterback. It's not like he doesn't have a quarterback. He got to a Super Bowl. He lost. Doug went with a backup quarterback and won, and people freaking out. And I wanted to freak out too. But I went back to and remembered something that I heard from Jeff Van Gundy, of all people, right? Mr. NBA in the chair right now. And Jeff Van Gundy had this to say when he was doing a Sixers game. If you let media, fans, and what they say bother you, but you would never seek their advice, why would you let it bother you? You know what I mean? You know what I mean by that, Andrew? Like, if whatever, Graphic Media, who's on hold, we'll get to in a minute, was like, you're an idiot about hockey or whatever, but I would never go to Graf to get his hockey intellect, and I'm just using him as an example, then why would I worry about his opinion of me on that subject if I would never seek his advice on it? So, like, I never sought this guy's advice on his evaluation of NFL coaches.
Right.
I don't know who he is. He's entitled to his opinion how he sees it. Why do we keep taking the bait of insecurity in Philadelphia?
That's a good question. And it goes back to the no one likes us, we don't care. But as soon as you say something to us,
we're gonna get up in arms.
Freak out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think because...
And attack the guy because he's got 3,400 followers, right, or,
I mean,
whatever.
I don't know. I mean, I guess that kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah, but like, we got to stop doing that.
Why?
I mean, I'm not here to tell people how to act. You can have...
Oh, you shouldn't throw insults and threaten him and all that. Well, I mean, like,
I know, but it's Twitter, right? And if everybody had to have a verified account and it was your real name, Twitter would be far different. But it doesn't. You have, and I've said this often, Twitter is a breeding ground for the stupid, and you can't fix dumb. And there's a ton of dumb on there, and people living these alter egos on social media. It's pathetic. But anyway, I don't think Doug is the ninth-ranked coach in the NFL. I will tell you that there's a lot. If I had an NFL franchise today and they made me the general manager and they said, okay, we're starting over and you can hire a coach, where would I rank Doug in that regard? Would I take Belichick over Doug? Would I take Andy Reid over Doug? If I'm starting a brand new franchise right now, would I take John Harbaugh over Doug or Sean Payton or Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Mike Tomlin, Pete Carroll, or Doug Peterson? Where would I take Doug in that list?
Right.
If my professional life depended on it. And I wouldn't take him top five. I love Doug, and I love that he brought a Super Bowl here. But if I'm staking my professional life, my ability to earn a living for my family, there's guys that I'm going to take above him. I was wrong about Doug. I thought he was a boob, right?
Right.
The student meter, the whole thing. And I've admitted it. I wasn't the only one. I know there's a lot of revisionist history out there. Like, you were like, Chris, student meter, you thought he was an idiot. Yeah, well, so did a lot of people. All right? I voiced it. That's how I saw it at the time. And I was wrong. Okay? Get over it. I was wrong. Not hard to say. But would I take Doug? Would you take Doug top five if you're starting a team in the NFL, Andrew?
No. I mean, I don't think he's top five, but I think he's still ranked lower than what he should be on that list.
I agree.
I took more, I don't want to say offense, but I looked at it and I go, Pete Carroll's eighth?
Yeah, I know.
Like, to me, Pete Carroll's a top five head coach in the
NFL. He's won a Super Bowl and got to another.
And constantly has a, constantly has a good team. He loses points for that, by the way. Major points.
I agree.
But Pete Carroll, eighth is a problem. Like, this list was just bad.
Are you okay with where Tomlin is? He's won a couple.
I really like Mike Tomlin as a head coach.
I do too.
Mike Tomlin doesn't call plays right? But do I should I take that away from him? No.
Like, he's just a bad head coach.
Yeah, I think he's a good leader of men. I'm sure, you know, he makes decisions in the game, obviously. So I really do like Mike Tomlin.
Sometimes I give a coach points for not calling plays. Because he knows that wouldn't be good for his team.
Right.
So it's not the arrogance of control.
Yeah, so I like Mike Tomlin. I think he's
Bill Belichick doesn't call plays.
Right, exactly. I think Tomlin is deserving to be more respected. And I think because they haven't won in a while, maybe that's what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Is it his decision to keep on bringing Ben Roethlisberger back when he's like literally aging? Like 10 years per year, right? Like Ben Roethlisberger looks like
he's aging in dog years.
Yeah, and they haven't given him a new quarterback to play.
So he's had to go there. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't put that blame on him. I might put that blame on the organization. But yeah, he should be higher. I mean, the ones that really bother me, Sean McVay should not be higher than Doug Peterson. I think
totally agree.
I think Sean McVay is totally overrated. And
I think he's a good coach. But I don't think he should be higher than him because greatness of coach, and when you're talking about the top coaches, that's based on accomplishment, right. And you have to consider accomplishment.
Right.
He got to a Super Bowl. That's an accomplishment, but yes, he didn't win.
No, and it was terrible. They scored 3 points in that Super Bowl.
Not only that, but Doug's owned him head-to-head.
Yes, exactly. And then the Shanahan thing, like, you know, I have this debate with Anthony a lot. I think he's a brilliant offensive mind.
But he doesn't have accomplishment yet.
I think what people are doing, you know, with these kinds of lists, they're almost doing the Sean McVay thing. They're like, oh my God, look, this is the new sexy young head coach that has all these new ideas. So because of how new the ideas are, because of how brilliant it's looked at, because nobody's figured him out yet, he's going to be a top five.
Gabe had new ideas too.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? So, and so Shanahan, I respect Shanahan much more than I
Chip
respect
had new
Gabe
ideas.
Kapler. But, you know, I can't go after 2 years of being a head coach. 2 years of being a head coach to name him boy wonder and the top five head coach.
Yeah.
He could become that, right? Like, I could change my opinion after another year.
Yeah, give me some accomplishment and some resume there.
And he got to the Super Bowl, which is an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. But the only thing is, I go, all right, he had such an elite defense that he didn't build. John Lynch built that defense. Yeah. He's a great general manager. And yes, he has these great schemes running the football, which Anthony says a lot. And he's right. But it's nice to be able to score almost 2 touchdowns from your defense, and then you can just run the clock out.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's 2 from your defense, 2 from your offense, you're good to go.
Yeah,
should win.
And I wonder what he would look like with a real quarterback. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is that great of a quarterback.
Well,
I think
at the amount of completion, the amount of attempts that he was having in playoff games, it was like 13.
Yeah,
and it's
dink and dunk, right? Yeah. Like he doesn't really have to go downfield. He does sometimes, but he doesn't have to.
But he also plays to the strength of his defense.
Right. So I go, all right. Shanahan's a good head coach because, look, he got to the Super Bowl. He was obviously a great coordinator with the Atlanta Falcons. They get to the Super Bowl. I know that they blew it, and part of that's his fault. But regardless, he's had accomplishments in his NFL career as a coordinator, as a head coach. I can't name him a top five coach yet.
Not me
or
either.
Sixth or totally seventh agree. Or ahead of Doug Peterson, period.
All right, okay, so if you're starting your franchise, you taking Doug or Bill Belichick?
Belichick.
Doug? Or Andy Reid, not because Andy Reid was here for 14 years.
No, Andy Reid.
Okay. Doug or John Harbaugh?
John Harbaugh, but I
like John Harbaugh a lot.
I like John Harbaugh. I still go, I don't know if Harbaugh's 3.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's not the question.
But
I know what you mean. Yep,
I think Harbaugh's 5-6.
Okay.
I don't think he's 3. But yeah, I'd go Harbaugh over Doug.
And you're taking Sean Payton over Doug?
Yes.
Even though you hate the face and everything?
I can't stand Sean Payton.
Now, are you taking Mike Tomlin over Doug?
No.
I'm not either. Are you taking Pete Carroll over Doug?
Yes.
Okay. And don't consider age, because Pete Carroll's, I think, 68 years old, but that doesn't matter. So you're not taking Kyle Shanahan over Doug? Are you taking Sean McVay over Doug?
No.
Okay. What about Mike Zimmer?
No.
Me neither. Okay. So we're pretty much in lockstep.
I think Zimmer's a good coach.
Now, the other part of this is that the Sean Wagner guy that put out the list, look, a lot of these guys put out these lists to get a reaction. And they always know when they do something, they kind of troll Philadelphia fans because they know that'll get a reaction. What does that do? It gets some clicks.
Well, of course.
It's hot take BS. And I saw a tweet from an old coworker today that said, you know, the quote, take is ruining sports. And I agree. The word take I hate. When somebody goes, oh, that's a bad take, I want to go, dude, it's not a take. It's an opinion. A take is something that you don't believe. you say it to elicit a reaction.
Yeah, I did that yesterday. I said that Larry Bird would be the 11th guy off the bench in the NBA today.
Yeah, see, that's just to get a reaction.
I was saying it tongue in cheek, but my God, you would think I upset people, or, you know, insulted people's firstborns yesterday.
Yeah, but Darren DeGaetano is the one who put out the tweet, and I agree with him. The take is trying to erode sports dignity, and he's right, because, and we see it with these shows like whatever First Take, and they just have these, again, the word take.
Yeah.
You know these people don't believe the BS that they're spewing.
Yesterday, I have ESPN on here in the studio.
Why?
Yeah, well, because it's on before me. So yesterday it was on, and I popped my head up, and it was, is Carson Wentz the guy of the future for the Eagles?
Come on.
And I'm like, huh? And then what do they do? So they have that little headline, but whose highlights are they showing? Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, of course. Because that's going to elicit a response.
Uh-huh. And I'm like, really? That's what you guys are talking about today.
And these hot take artists, and look, there's a lot of them in media, and there's some locally. And to me, they're disingenuous. Look, I come in here. I can just tell you my approach. I come in, I have an opinion based on my life experience, and sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong, sometimes I'm a little right, sometimes I'm a lot wrong. You know, that's part of the gig, and I'm going to be right sometimes. I'm going to be wrong. I like to think I'm right more than others, and you may disagree, and that's cool. You're entitled to your opinion based on your experience.
You think they should get rid of the shift. You're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And there are people that think that I'm being idiotic because it's a strategic element. But what I will tell you is those people that give you hot takes, like Nick Foles is the 9th best athlete in Philly, like the other radio station did with their best of brushy, like, take that into consideration that's people who think you're dumb. You know what I mean? Like, they think that you're susceptible to the hot take, or that Gabe Kapler is a great manager. Like, those people, they think they're disingenuous. They think you're dumb. Just know that when they give a hot take like that and stand behind it and dig in on it, they think you're dumb. They're calling you dumb. So don't react to it. That's just my advice. Again, if you won't seek the advice from a certain person, don't let their criticism or analysis bog you down. Let's go to Tom in New Jersey on the Fanatic. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Chase. How you doing? I hate to belabor the point, but with regards to your shift, I don't think the MLB should take away the shift. I believe that's up to the players. And I believe the egos are getting in the way.
What do you mean the egos are getting in the way?
Well, I think if you open up a whole half side of the field, I mean, you could just drop a bunt down the side of the field.
Okay, why don't they do it?
Why don't? Because their egos are getting in the way. They don't want to do that.
Oh, so they don't want to win?
Ryan Howard said himself, oh, I'm not doing that. That's what they want me to do. I'm going to try to hit a home run.
Okay, he was a power hitter.
Like, that
was his game, and I agree with you, Tom, but even players that aren't power hitters are doing that now. And the ball's just not in play. You know what I mean?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but the fact of the matter is they should be able to do it. If you want the shift to go away, which is what you want.
Okay, but we've seen it. It's been for 5 years now, though, Tom. It's been 5 years now where players could hit it to the other way outside of the shift, but they don't. So clearly, they either can't or they refuse to. So, again, the byproduct of the shift is that they want to hit the ball out of the park, and that's where the game's going. It's not going to change unless baseball makes the change. And they'll have to do it with the players. Any rules changes like that have to be, you know, collectively bargained, and they have an opportunity to collectively bargain that.
I don't like the fact that, you know, you take away a strategy, the coaches...
Okay, they took away strategies in other sports, didn't they? And it made them better?
I'm not talking to you about other sports. Listen, no, I don't want to belabor that point. Like,
okay. I respect your opinion, Tom. I do. I just disagree with it.
When do you believe that Sean Couturier is going to get the respect he deserves as probably the best defensive forward in hockey?
Well, I don't think he's the best defensive forward in hockey, but I think he's going to win the trophy for this season as the best defensive forward in hockey, the Selke. So I think that'll be after the season when they announce the awards.
I just believe that he's a And I'm a huge Flyers fan, don't get me wrong, but not just because I'm a Flyers fan. Just seen him shut down almost every other line he plays.
And, look, they played against the Capitals this year four times, Tom. They went 3-0-1 against the Caps. Alexander Ovechkin, the greatest scorer in the history of the game, didn't have a point in four games. Why is that? Exactly. Well, they got better goaltending, and Couturier is a guy that limits the ability of the best offensive player on the opposition. Not only that, but he ends up a plus and can score as well, 59 points in 69 games. Let's go to Graf in media on the Fanatic. What's up, Graf?
Jason.
What's up, buddy?
You have overloaded me here, bro, with all the things you were just talking about.
I wanted you to come on and spill your bucket, man. So, like, I want you to get it all out.
Well, here's the thing. I am, Pat knows, I made a comment about how the NHL has made the best decision ever not playing hockey in America right now. Mm. So I think out of any professional sports organization that's going to start, I think the NHL has a really good shot of being the one that finishes.
Yeah, I didn't understand, Graf, why the NBA locked itself into a location way before it had to.
4 weeks before it had to, and literally like 3 days after they made that decision, it's almost like all hell broke loose.
And
you just realize that the NHL has made one really good decision by taking this. One, they've been incredibly quiet about it. That's the one thing that I find to be most interesting when it comes to the NHL is how they've really kept a lid on the agreement between organization and player, and they've really managed to, you know, come away with some good decisions. So I think the NHL has just made some ultimately good decisions with how they're going to handle this.
Yeah, usually that's a league too, Graf, that when they got to make decisions like this, they have a really hard time. You know what I mean? Anytime there's been a labor issue, they've had a stoppage, and I think that they've been really kind of transparent in their desire to return to play and how to do it and how to do it as safely as possible.
Yeah, and I think it's going to pay off dividends for them in the end. So I'm
good,
excited.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is going to change what the location of their schedule throughout the year? Do you think they're going to pump themselves up and try and run into the summer at all?
No, I don't, because I think that the inherent nature of the sport is so winter because of hockey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's a lot of other elements to that. The other thing you have to consider, too, is how if you went to a later thing with the draft and all the junior leagues in Europe, and they would all have to go to a different schedule. Collegiate hockey.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. In the NBA, that's a little bit of an issue as well, but less so with the inherent nature of hockey being played in cold.
You know, and the one thing, Jason, that you make the point is like how it would affect globally the different leagues around the world. And it's funny because we don't really think of the NHL as being this like giant like global conglomerate, but
it's more global than any league,
right? And because they have the ability to play their sport in an entirely different country.
Yep.
So I wonder if that's something that the NBA is probably looking at as well as a benefactor in order to spread their league throughout the world.
Yeah.
Well, and then my last statement,
real quick, if I could pose to the NBA, Graf, if I could go, hey, do you still want to go to Orlando, or we can send you to New Zealand? You go to New Zealand.
I thought about that, Jay. I literally said to myself, I was like, dang, the NBA had a real opportunity to spread their game globally if they just picked a country that had interest in their sport, and there are plenty of them.
Oh,
so
the world does,
They dropped the ball. But when it comes to the take, the only time I responded to that guy's take about Dougie P was when he made the comment about Philadelphia's athlete or fans throwing snowballs at Santa.
Yeah, that's as tired as it comes, yeah.
Your Doug Peterson list that you and Andrew just named off, 100% accurate, man. I think a lot has to do with just tenure as well. You know, like if a coach has been in the league for 15 years or whatever it is, like Andy Reid and Bill Belichick and stuff, they've been there that long for a reason because they're very good at their jobs.
Totally agree.
But
I got to run, brother.
Dougie P, man, all day, every day.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's done a great job. Thanks, Graf. I appreciate it. Real quick, we're going to get back to the phones coming up. And more of your calls at 610-632-0975. You're on Twitter during the show, right, Andrew?
Sometimes, yeah.
Do you follow Rex Chapman?
Yeah, or I don't, but he gets retweeted enough where I see it.
Well, he's getting retweeted a ton today. Did you see the video?
No.
Go online right now. I want to get your analysis of this. He tweets, I don't know where he finds these videos, but this latest one's got 3.9 million views right now, and he just tweeted it out at 11 o'clock this morning.
All right.
And it's got almost Rex 4 million Chapman. Views. Okay.
What time?
He tweeted it out at 11:01. You'll know the video I'm talking about. It's a video of this, I don't know if it's an eagle. It's a
really, I did see it.
A really big bird. And it says, just in case you haven't seen a bird flying around with a shark that it just plucked out of the ocean. And this, I guess it's an eagle, right? Is flying around and it's got a shark. It looks like it's about like a three or four foot shark.
Yeah, this thing's insane.
In his talons, and he's flying over top of the beach with this shark.
Can you imagine if you're just sitting there?
He said it's in Myrtle Beach. That's where it happened.
If you're sitting there, are you like, oh my God, is it going to drop? Is it going to
exactly
fall on me?
Is he going to lose grip? Does he have a good grip with the talons? I mean, look, I don't know if it's like what, like a white tip or a black tip or a mako or a baby mako. I have no idea what kind of shark it is, but unreal.
Well, I'm reading.
Where does this dude find these videos?
I actually saw this before, not from him, so that's why I did see it. But I'm reading through the comments. Graf, who just was on, said that's not a shark. And something.
Then what is it?
I don't know. Somebody said it's a large tuna. I don't know if that's true. And then somebody also mentioned that that's an osprey and not an eagle.
Oh, okay.
But who cares? It's a bird with a giant fish.
Yeah.
Why do we have to argue everything? It's a bird with a giant ass fish.
Oh my God.
Like half the size of a human.
It looks like it's CGI. Like it's crazy. Yeah, now you see the fish
go nuts.
Like going nuts. Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't stay long enough to see it trying to get out of the grip of the talons.
Well, that's your ADD.
Osprey.
You got to watch the entire video now.
Yeah, it's 25 seconds.
Come on, man.
My ADD allows me up to 16 and a half seconds. I figured out.
Come on, man.
That's awesome.
This is the beginning of Sharknado, isn't it?
Yes. Or it's Osprey-nado.
Yes.
610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. We got a couple open lines. We'll get to Amir and Jerome coming up. And we'll see if any more Ospreys pluck out a shark.
Graf says it's an osprey and a bluefish. A big ass bluefish.
I don't know if that's a bluefish.
I don't know. Graf's a fisherman. He's an outdoorsman.
Yeah. Well, it's a shark. I want it to be a shark, so it's a shark.
Okay.
All right.
You make the rules.
I can't tell by the tail. So I was in the ocean with Evan last week and we were boogie boarding and he saw porpoises come by. He's like, Dad, there's a shark. I'm like, and I told him, I'm like, it's a porpoise. It's coming out. It's got a blowhole. Not that it was blowing like everything out. He's like, duh, I think it's a shark. Dude, sharks don't just keep coming up out of the water.
Right.
He didn't even get out, though. He thought it was a shark and he didn't get out.
How about that?
Not back. 610-632-0975. Do me proud because his hair is out of control and I got none. So he's got hair for both of us. His hair's longer than yours, Matt.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's got quite the salad going on up there. It is Jason Martinez. It is the Midday Show. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
That's not true. 97.5 The Fanatic. Jason Martinez with Anthony off today. Anthony vacationing or anything? Just to, you know, burning some vacation before the return.
No.
Just chilling.
Funeral today.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Oh, that's horrible. I did not know that. So, best of luck to the cuss. 610-632-0975. Before we get back to the phones, real quick, Andrew.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.